So, Black Diamond used to be a company town. In the 1800s, life there in town was controlled by the Pacific Crest Coal Company. And that company town environment, that affects our life here today, says Leonard Garfield of the Museum of History and Industry. Hi, Leonard.
Hi, Bill.
And what was it like to be in the coal business in Western Washington in the 1800s?
Well, it depended whether you were on the capital side of the equation or the labor side.
Yeah, I'll bet it did.
Let's talk about the labor side. It was tough. Coal seams were located in remote areas of eastern King County, so in the foothills of the Cascades. The work was hard, it was dangerous, it was dirty, and it was backbreaking. So the conditions of being a coal miner were really, really tough. And the communities they lived in were basically company towns, so it was a pretty monochromatic life.
Black Diamond was a company town.
Black Diamond was one of the great company towns of eastern King County. It was owned by a company that exclusively was mining coal. Their investment was located in California, later in New York. So these were not absentee managers, but absentee capital. And they were looking at Black Diamond as a revenue stream for them.
Remind us, what was a company town? What would that have been like?
Well, imagine, Bill, that you wake up and the house you wake up in is actually owned by the company. So the rent that you pay is going right back to your employer. And then you head off for work. And of course, the company town owns your place of employment. And the work conditions, probably the uniform you wear, maybe how you get back and from to and from work, it's all controlled by the company. And then you get that paycheck, and you know what? You get to give it back to the company because you spend it at the company store. All of your household goods, all of your provisions are basically acquired from stores and retailers that at some level are owned and controlled by the company. But it even went further than that. Company towns often had controlled the entertainment. They provided the town hall and the civic center, the concert hall. They'd hire the doctors. They'd bring in the entertainment. You pretty much spent your whole day and all your night working for the company, whether you knew it or not.
How did that environment typically affect the politics in a company town?
Well, you can imagine that you could build up some resentment. Mm-hmm. And so the managerial class in a company town were very much in favor of the company's policies. And frankly, politically, they would tend to lean in the United States toward the Republican or more conservative economic politics. But for the workers, sometimes that resentment would boil over, and it led to very serious and strenuous labor movement issues. It tended to give rise to a more radical or more outsider view of politics because people thought, you know, I'm giving an awful lot to this company, and this company's not giving me a lot back in the sense of personal freedom or the opportunity to advance through the company or maybe beyond the company. Because even if I step outside my house and try to do something new, chances are the company has some rules that will govern that.
And all of this kind of shaped the character of the Pacific Northwest, right?
Oh, it really did. You know, the company towns were not only diverse culturally, which gave us a certain character, but they were very, very much working class communities. And so the labor movement was important in places like Black Diamond. And Washington State in the 20th century was one of the most heavily unionized, and in fact, in some regards, one of the most radical states in the Union. And we can trace some of that to the origins of the labor movement in company towns like Black Diamond.
How can we compare a company town like Black Diamond then with the way industry works in our lives today in Western Washington?
Well, I think that there are some differences and some similarities. I think then as now, in the United States, work tends to consume us. So what we do for a living is often who we are as people. And if you were a coal miner in Black Diamond, that really shaped your world.
That is interesting. I had not thought of that parallel. I guess that's right.
So we're all coal miners in a way because we in America work very hard and we don't take too many breaks. But it's very different in another regard. A company town truly circumscribe your life with the company. The company owned the property. They controlled the community activities. They owned the stores in many cases. They hired the doctors. everything that you did, work-related and related to your private life, was very much governed and at least colored by the company itself. We don't really have that so much anymore.
We have huge employers, but it's not comparable.
It's not comparable. In some cases, there are in the United States what we might call industry towns. You might say that Detroit is dominated by the automobile industry, just as Seattle in the 20th century was dominated by the airplane manufacturing business. But company towns, those really are a feature now of the past.
What do you think we can learn from Black Diamond's time as a company town?
One of the things I think that's interesting about Black Diamond and all the company towns was the juxtaposition between a work life that was very focused in place. It was very place specific. It was related to natural resources. It was an extractive industry. And the capital that controlled it, which was far away. So we had an economy that was dominated by forces outside our control, including the markets that led to the booms and busts in the coal industry. But you had work that was very much of the moment, very gritty, very much about the resources underneath our feet. And that distinction and dichotomy between foreign economic forces and very local work conditions is an interesting story that we even can reflect on today as we think about the impact of global economic forces and how they shape our private lives in our daily life. It's been a huge source of anxiety in recent decades as we look at the globalization of the global economy. But, you know, that globalization happened very early in Washington State. And we might want to look back at that history to see how we learned to live as a healthy and strong community that was also shaped and in some cases buffeted by international economic forces.
Leonard Garfield, director of the Museum of History and Industry, thank you for this.
Thanks, Bill.